Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Didn't go home yet. Hey, wait, I got to work this morning. I've been gone a week and I have to unlock the gate. My key didn't work. I'm like, are you guys trying to tell me something?
You've been compromised. They're kicking you out of the
My boss is like, I was going to write you back. Can you take a hint?
That's so funny. Did they just change the lock or something?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're out, Kath.
Well, I would have gone home. I don't really care.
Is the Wi-Fi better at your... Well, we can just get into it. They're not going to lock you in, are they?
No, Terry's not here, so... No, not until after 5, and I have a key.
Oh, where's Terry?
He's at home. I don't want to... He's...
Oh, I thought you meant, like, not here in town. Okay.
No, he's here. That's...
Oh, not bad.
He didn't even pick me up at the airport. He was too busy.
Doing what? Being asleep? Well, listen.
He was chairing a meeting.
He was chairing a meeting?
This is what he said. He said at the 827 club, but it was the 857.
Well, he went to the wrong club and they're like...
I don't know what he's doing. I just...
Well, let's get into it. You guys, Terry's okay. My stepdad. I'm here with my mom, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for doing this. You just got back from Iceland, huh?
Yes, it was awesome. Everybody should go to Iceland.
Yeah, was that your first time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew that. I'm just asking for the listeners. I don't know why I said it like that. I want to interview you about your life. We've been traveling a lot. I guess we'll just start from, I have a couple listener questions that if I don't get to, I'll squeeze them in, but okay. They don't come up naturally. I just want to find out about you. I want to tell people about you. Let's talk about your whole life, your childhood. Where were you? You were born in New York, right?
Deer Park. Well, I was born in Rockville Center, New York, but I grew up in Deer Park, New York. Long Island.
Long Island. What's that neighborhood like? Or what was it like growing up?
It was a great neighborhood growing up. You know, everybody was close knit. We played kickball every night in the street. You know, it was the Finks, my family, against the rest of the neighborhood because we had all the kids. So. But every single night we played kickball, and you know, we had like the fire hydrant was first base, something was, I forgot what was second base. I think we threw somebody's t-shirt down, and then third base was this tree.
Wow, you guys just made it work. That's so funny. I play kickball now in a league and I take it very seriously, so that's just...
Well, we took it real serious too.
Were you any good?
No, I suck at sports. Come on.
Sorry, I'm like pausing it to yell at my dog who's barking at nothing. And then I yell at her and she probably thinks I'm barking at nothing. You guys had a whole team because there's 8 of you, huh?
Yeah, there was 8 of us. Well, there was 7 and then Uncle Drew came later.
Yeah, he's what? 10
he's like the
years
other kid. Yeah.
That must have been crazy for your parents to be like, oh, I thought we were on our way out. With.
I could tell you the story about that. And Uncle Drew got really upset when I told him.
Oh, yeah, sure. We'll tell it on a public podcast.
Okay, so they're really good Catholics, right? So
which means
birth,
no birth control
came out, and they had decided that they were going to go ahead and try the birth control. Except Grandma never got her period. She had the doctor come over and give her a shot to try to bring it on. And she actually thought about, you know, she didn't know what to do. She didn't want to be pregnant, you know? So she actually thought about, you know, having an abortion. But that was like way no Catholic. You couldn't do that. And so when I told Uncle Drew that, he really got upset because he's really upset.
He got upset when you told him mom tried to abort you or thought about it.
Well, thought about it. Well, because she used to wake him up and go, come on, boo boo, time to get up. And I would say, well, we know he's a mistake, but stop calling him boo boo.
You know, it's so funny. She told me drunk on a cruise ship once, Grandma. She thought she was done after. Well, so for the listeners listening, it goes my Uncle John, and then Uncle Matt, and then you.
Yeah.
And then was it Aunt Chris?
Aunt Chris, and then Bob, and then the twins.
And then the twins. She told me that she thought, man, if they listen to this, they are going to get so mad at us.
Did she tell you about the onion?
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going to tell you. That she got pregnant with the twins, and she wasn't going to do anything against the Catholic Church, but a friend, one of the ladies down the street said, well, if you squat over a boiling onion, it'll force it to not, you'll get your period. And she's like, I think that's when the egg split and I got twins. And that's what you get. That's what you get for trying to go around the rules.
Well, she told my dad she would jump out the window, but she'd just be pregnant with two broken legs.
And what?
See, they didn't know she was having twins. That's why the twins are 33 minutes apart. Because they couldn't get the other one out.
Which one came first?
You know? Aunt Mo, she was only 4 pounds or something. And Aunt Margaret was 6 pounds. So they couldn't get her. So they're putting sandbags on Grandma's stomach. And she's yelling at them, hey, I'm pregnant. Get those off my stomach.
That's so funny.
And so the doctor said, oh, well, I kind of knew you were having twins. And she goes, why didn't you tell me? And he goes, you had 5 kids. You didn't want to be pregnant. I was not telling you you were having twins.
Yeah, I wasn't going to be liable for the lawsuit of whatever scares you through.
The twins were born October 26th. It was 2 days after their 8th wedding anniversary. They had 7 children in 8 years and 2 days.
That was their 8th wedding anniversary?
Yes.
Oh, they really, they didn't waste any time.
Well, you know.
Grandma's vagina must have been a train wreck.
She must have been fertile myrtle.
Clearly. That's got to be so crazy for you, because not to skip ahead, but you struggled with fertility, didn't you?
Well, it wasn't me that was struggling.
Oh, it was a little column A, column B. Well, I mean, it was definitely not you.
It was him, not me.
Well, didn't you have, so you had miscarriages though, right?
Yeah, but that was just because I just had a miscarriage. I mean, that just happens sometimes.
Well, yeah, but wouldn't one?
Yeah, well, they told me after
that also was a fertility struggle.
After you, I probably shouldn't carry any more kids because I wouldn't carry them to term.
Did you try?
Yeah, I had one more miscarriage.
Look at you not listening. The opposite of Grandma. She's like, I hope I can. I just don't want to get pregnant. And you're like, I just want to get pregnant one more.
Well, I know. You know, I remember we came home from Germany and you were like 3. Thomas was 6. And it was right at Christmas time. So I was like I went to Toys R Us and I bought all kinds of stuff, kitchens. And she was like, this is disgusting. You buy those kids so much things. And I said, look, I didn't have to. Well, I wasn't like you. I didn't just spread my legs and get pregnant. I had to plan these kids.
You said that to her?
Yeah.
You're like, this was the plan. I wanted to buy my children toys.
You know, I didn't want to have so many that I couldn't afford. Like, we got socks and gloves and hats for Christmas.
Yeah, you got coats. Survival gear.
Yeah, we got like 1 toy, maybe 2. Yeah, but Christmas was great growing up. I didn't know that was greatest day in the world for me.
Yeah. What did you guys do on Christmas? Yeah.
Well, I used to, you know, find all the presents and have the twins and everybody try them on first and then rewrap them.
Oh, so that's where my brother gets that.
Yes, that's where
he is.
I was horrible. I don't like surprises.
I don't like, so you mean you just are impatient is what that is.
Well, yeah, patience. I learned a long time ago, do not ever pray for patience.
Sorry, go ahead.
Don't ever pray for patience because you'll get a lot of tests.
That's so funny. All of a sudden, it's everything you need to be patient for.
Oh, I am not. I remember saying to your dad, we went to Disneyland right after we got married. And I said, good Lord, if I had to come here on my honeymoon, I'd be divorced before we got out of the park. Because I'm ready to kill people waiting in these lines.
Dad was like a Disney guy. What an omen that must have been.
Should have known. He's like Dumbo.
Aw. Wait, well, we're bouncing around, but I guess that's fine. It's just a conversation, so it doesn't have to go linear. When did you meet Dad? How old were you?
I was 24, I think. I was 24 when I got married, so I was 23 when I met him. I was actually dating his best friend.
Ew, you whore.
No, he was married to someone else.
What?
He was a whore.
Wait, you were dating a guy? Oh, your dad was married. My dad, sorry.
Your dad was married to Kay, but I was dating his best friend, Mark.
Did you meet Kay?
I was in, oh yeah, she was horrible. Okay, they were doing like Amway or something. So we had some of the military guys over having a Amway party. She's outside propositioning some of the guy. She was a piece of work.
Well, I can't believe it didn't work out. And what happened? You broke up with his best friend and he happened to break up, get a divorce?
He moved in next door to me, him and Steve. Tammy and I moved in one trailer, and Steve and your dad moved in the other. She married Steve.
I mean, that's a cute story.
I mean, she's still married to Steve. So.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Did she start dating Steve first?
No.
No. Okay.
I actually was just like friends with your dad, and then, I don't know, one thing led to another.
And then you're like, I guess we're together now.
I mean, no, he had orders to California. And I was like, California? Woohoo! You know, so I wanted to go to California.
You married him for a free trip to California.
And I had no idea we were going to the middle of the desert.
Yeah, how'd you feel when you arrived in Victorville?
I was hard. I mean, we're driving through New Mexico, and I said, God, when are we going to get out of the damn desert? And he goes, where do you think we're going? I was like, California, the beach! He's like, no, we're going to the high desert.
God. What was that like? Moving to, what was living in the high desert like?
It was okay. I mean, you know, it's just when you're in the military, everybody kind of, you party with everybody together. You know, we didn't have any kids. We were young. And back then, drugs were pretty rampant in the military.
Oh, really? So, like what kind of drugs?
Just pot and drugs, you know. You'd go to a party, everybody would be smoking pot and stuff. I remember I worked for a commander, right? And somebody ratted out the whole squadron, and they did a drug test, and half the squadron got let out of the service because
of pot, or was there other stuff?
Pot, yeah.
That's so
it was
funny.
Illegal. You couldn't do it.
That's so funny.
And
now,
some of them were like, "Yeah, I smoke pot," and I told my boss, I said, "I don't have any respect for people that confess. Come on."
You're like, "Drug, do whatever drugs you want. Don't tell people.
Just
you
don't are. Tell on yourself.
You."
Yeah, you might person, come back negative.
I know, right? We can't trust that person to go to war. They're going to give away the secrets immediately.
Oh, my God. They used to, you know, go work on planes high as kites. I was like, God, I feel safe.
Jesus.
And then they cracked down, and it was like, boom, half the military got kicked out. Or the Air Force, because, you know, they're the elite of the services.
Well, that's what they say.
Well, I mean, they have better housing except- and better stuff.
Yeah. I feel like
having
every branch,
worked for both, I can tell you the Air Force has much better stuff.
The Air Force versus the Army?
Yeah.
Have you ever worked for the Navy?
Corps of Engineers. When I went to war there, I had my own like trailer, queen size bed, a maid. The Army guys came in, they go, how many people live in here? I go, just me. What? There were like 10 of us in here.
Wait, what country was this in?
Iraq.
Okay. What do you do?
A containerized housing unit.
Containerized housing unit. So you went to, did you go to Iraq first or Afghanistan?
Yeah, I went to Iraq first for six months.
So we were living in Alaska. I had gone to college, or was it before I went to college?
No, you went to college.
You went to Iraq for 6 months.
Yeah, for six months.
Why? What was your job there? What did you do? All my listeners,
admin,
in the
really?
CIA.
Same thing I did in the States, except I worked 7 days a week, 12 hours a day.
Really? So what? Paper?
But it was like being in prison because you couldn't leave the base. I mean, you ate on the base. You went to work for 12 hours. You came, went to your little chew. You couldn't go anywhere. So
with
it was like being in a minimum security prison. You know?
Yeah.
Go to the chow hall, eat your chow.
I mean, I'm sure people in prison would be like, we didn't have a queen size bed.
Well, we didn't have. Yeah, I know. I had a queen size bed. I had a TV, a VCR, a truck to drive.
What prompted you to take that job?
I needed the money, really.
Yeah.
You know.
And what were you doing before? What was the actual job?
I was an administrative tech. I mean, okay. I was the same job.
People don't know what that means. What, you just do the paperwork?
Just do all the administrative work, all the paperwork, all the reports, all the filing, all the travel.
A secretary in a helmet.
Secretary, yeah. They call it admin tech.
Admin tech.
And I'm the girl Friday.
What
Somebody
happened?
Called me that. I was like, what? You're my girl Friday.
That's
what it used to be called.
Girl Friday?
Girl Friday, yeah.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
What's it? The times are changing. Now you couldn't call anybody that.
No, you have to call it a them Friday.
But then I came back, and 5 months later, I went to Afghanistan for a year.
And that was the same
job. That was the best assignment. Oh.
You are... And very few people I know would be like, God, I loved Afghanistan.
I did. I loved Afghanistan.
Why? What was it like there?
Well, we were in a compound that was across from a base. So we were like our own little compound. We had our own little dining facility. The general came every Friday because our dining facility was that good and brought his people. We had lobster every Friday and steak.
How are they getting lobster in Afghanistan?
They order it. My friend Tracy was in charge of the dining facility.
Oh, that's a nice thing that our taxes are going to, lobster being flown into Afghanistan.
And then, you know, we got Friday afternoons off, so we could go across to the base. It was $10 for an hour massage. We eat at the Thai restaurant, and then there was a bazaar, and there was all these Afghans selling stuff. So, like, Pashmina scarves were $2. They were like, oh, no, come. Be my first customer. Come. God.
Gonna
get canceled. It was like a bunch of shysters. That's what I called this little kid. I said, you're a shyster.
Yeah, but you bought everything from him.
I did. He was cute.
Wait, okay, so I feel like a lot of people listening, especially maybe, you know, American listeners, they think Afghanistan and they think bombs totally going off everywhere, totally unsafe. What was it like from day to day?
Well, you know, we had a bunker. And if the alarms went off, we went to the bunker. Except one night I was taking NyQuil and malaria medicine. And I woke up, it was like 2 a.m. and I heard, this is not a drill. So I put my helmet on with my bathrobe. I went down to the bunker and I was sitting there all by myself like,
And you just hallucinated it?
Yeah. From then on, I was called Bunker Babe. The rest of my tour.
How long were you in there before you're like, I think I'm
about 30 minutes. And I was like, man, nobody's here. But we had some military. So the first time my friend Annie, she was military. She got there and we had a bunker. We had to all go to the bunker. It was an attack. And so she's looking around at all of us and she goes, hey, where's y'all's guns? I said, oh, we don't have guns. We get behind you. She was like, shoot.
You guys didn't have any weapons? I mean, probably for the best.
The military people did, but not the civilians, no.
Damn. How? I mean, was it scary when you had to go in there? Was that like?
No, once or twice. I remember my friend Leslie's like, I just got my chicken. Because we were getting ready to eat. I said, well, go on, get it. Go out there, get it, Leslie. No. All clear. It was funny because my friend Brian, he said he was doing a little lap around the base exercising. And he goes, I don't know what I was thinking, but I was like, oh, shoot, fireworks. And he goes, well, shit, I'm in Iraq. It's on fireworks.
Oh, Jesus. Were there ever any like really close, like did anything ever get destroyed where you were?
Yeah. I felt pretty safe.
Did anyone get injured in your like general area?
Just one or two people, I think, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's so scary. How long were you in
the military that were out in the trenches, they had it pretty rough, I think.
Yeah, but where you were, it was kind of...
Can you imagine it's 130 degrees and you're wearing this heavy vest that weighs like 30 pounds and a helmet and there's no air in those Humvees?
Oh, I pass out in a t-shirt in 80 degree weather. Like,
yeah, I mean...
It's it's like a different type of human to be able to handle that stuff.
So I don't know how they did. I remember going, I was in Kuwait waiting to go home, and it was 138 degrees, and I was like, oh, damn, I'm melting. So I would wait till nighttime to go outside.
Yeah, well, it seems like you had to.
With air conditioning, yeah.
Well, you worked for the military government kind of your whole career. Did you ever want to be in the military when you were younger?
I joined the military when I was 22. Me and my friend Margaret went and we signed up. We took the test. She fails the test.
She failed
after
the
test? After I told her, I said, it's a freaking idiot test.
You said yeah, that and then she's like, I failed.
I said, it's a freaking idiot. So I went to the thing to process. And the two guys with me, one, they were giving me a hard time because the night before the physical, I found a whole bunch of people. We went out drinking and driving down Jacksonville Beach, you know.
Oh, that's good.
Wow. So they were like, you're going to fail. I passed. Flat feet and allergic to bees didn't pass. The two guys.
That's so
I was
funny.
Like, y'all should have came with me.
Allergic
and so
to bees.
I was on the enlistment for... like 4 months, and then I changed my mind.
You were enlisted.
They weren't
for
real
4 months.
Happy with me that I changed my mind.
What was your like career path? If you
it was going to be admin, because I aced that. I scored like 100, you know, and they were like, "Wow, this is like some of the highest score." And I was like, "And you get see?" They told me I would. My friends in the Air Force said, "Oh, admin, you'll be working in an orderly room." I'm thinking a hospital closet. No, thank you. What did I do as a civilian? I worked in an orderly room. I ran an orderly room. And I was good at it. I used to say to your dad, I'd be a chief master sergeant if I'd have went in like 10 years because I'm that good.
Yeah, I mean,
I probably would have done really, really well, except I watched those videos of the lady, you know, in basic training, ripping the necklace off here. I was like, yeah, I don't think so.
You're like, I could handle the not physical part.
Yeah, I mean, in the running, if I'm running, something's chasing me.
That's so funny. But then you ended up, I mean, effectively doing the same job, just not
except as a civilian.
Are there
when I was got in civil service, back when I got in, you had to take a test.
Oh.
So like when, to do that? When we got to California, I went and took a civil service test, and within like 6 months, I got a job.
Did you know that you're like, I'll probably do this for the rest of my life or like work in this capacity?
No. Uh-uh. I quit when you were a baby.
You quit working?
Yeah.
How long were you a
you
mother?
You were sickening.
I was?
Mm-hmm.
Why? What happened?
You just had like really bad allergies and you kept getting sick and the babysitter was like, "She, you need to know." So I just quit. Stayed home.
Did you hate me? Were you like fucking?
No, we stayed home. I worked part-time at the terminal doing emergency leave loans for the Red Cross. And then I got a job working at the little community center at Needle Road where we live. So I would like dress up as a clown and we'd have parties and I rented movies. So I did that for like 2 years. And then when you turned two, because babysitting was really hard to get, especially for an infant under two.
Yeah.
And our babysitter, she got pregnant and had to be on bed rest, so she couldn't really watch you anymore.
Oh,
and
no.
I was just, I'll just stay home. You know, so when you turned two, I went back to work.
You're like, get me the fuck out of here.
Well, because, you know, I'm used to working and I get home and all these mothers that don't even have cars, I'm carpooling all the kids to preschool every day because I had a car. And then, you know,
cars.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, you know, when I went back to work, then they all coming over, like when I get off to chat. And I'm like, I got to cook and shit.
Get the hell out of my house. That's so funny.
Yeah.
So you were
I was the mom drinking beer at the playground. Because it got delivered there in Germany.
Beer?
Every week, they'd knock on the door and the guy would say, drink man here. And he'd call you boy. He goes, hello, boy. Drink man here.
There was a milkman.
Even
beer.
If you weren't home, they'd drop it off.
Let me ask
bottles,
you this.
Pills.
As a late 80s alcoholic mother, how much beer were you getting every week?
Oh, just a case of, but the bottles were really big. Roamer pill. But I would run out before Friday. I'd have to go to the store and get some more.
You're like, this beer man should come 3 times a week.
Yeah, he should come 3 times a week.
That's so interesting, because they definitely, I mean,
I think that's when my alcoholism really started to get out of control.
Really? Just because it was everywhere, it was accessible?
It was there every day, and I was home, you know.
Really?
And they delivered it. Come on. I didn't even have to go to the store.
Yeah. Do you feel like before that you were more of a casual drinker, or there were like a little bit of signs?
I liked the party, but I didn't drink every night, no.
And then you kind of just started slowly drinking every night?
Yeah.
Do you think it was the kids driving you crazy?
I think it was, I was trying to escape, you know? Yeah.
Why? How are you feeling?
I wasn't really happy being married, you know, to your dad. I mean, I love being a mom. I love doing all that stuff. I was like a crazy person. I mean, I was a soccer coach, a t-ball coach, a Girl Scout leader, a Cub Scout leader, working full time, going to school, you know. And
what do you think drives you to
not look at my life, you know?
You were just staying busy to not like think about how you were feeling.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess.
And I would drink. I mean, I tell people this. Like, I went to Leaders Weekend with the Girl Scouts. No alcohol's allowed on Camp Itikana. I found the 3 other alcoholics, and we were smuggling beer in our backpacks and buried them in the backyard.
That's good nature. Just burying cans in the woods, giving back to Mother Earth.
We did, and the other fat ladies said, boy, y'all were having a good time last night.
We were playing Truth or Dare. We just love being out in nature.
Yeah, with our shovel burying these beer cans.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, I mean, your journey to motherhood. So were you trying to have babies before you moved to California, or did you start trying once you moved out there?
Well, I started trying once we moved out there, because I got married and then we left to California.
Okay, so it was what, 1984,
1983? 1981.
Okay. How?
And then we kept trying, and then they kept testing, and then they did all these tests on me.
Was it like you wouldn't get pregnant or anything? You just kept trying.
Right. Just kept trying, kept trying. And they did all the tests on me, and I was fine. And then they did a test on your dad, and they said he produces no sperm.
No sperm. That's crazy.
They think he had something. He had something called Klinefelter syndrome.
Yeah, which is an extra chromosome.
But he never actually got the results of that test. I don't think he wanted to know.
Oh, because I mean, I could imagine.
But I mean, if you talk to his mom, first he started out as placenta previa.
What is that?
And then when he was born, usually the baby doesn't survive. The placenta comes out first.
Oh.
It's pretty dangerous.
It's like the baby's behind the placenta?
And then when he got like his permanent teeth coming in, he never got buds for them. And they told her the next thing would have been like a cleft palate. So, I mean, it was a very difficult pregnancy and birth. And, you know, Grandpa would have killed her trying to have a boy because she had 4 girls.
Yeah, I think they really wanted a boy. And then I'm sure.
They did. We wanted to carry on the name, you know.
Yeah, and that's a lot of pressure.
And it was such a disappointment. I think he was just like a really disappointment to his dad. Well, they were nicer to me than they were to him. Until we got divorced, they would come. They would buy me stuff. Oh, you need a new washer. Oh, you need this for your feet.
Yeah, they're trying to bribe you to have kids. They're like, God, please.
Well, I mean,
our legacy. But, well, that must have been hard, because his dad's like, I mean, Grandpa was a tough guy.
Yeah. He loved me. Grandpa Singleton loved me to no end until we got divorced.
And then you did.
Then it was like I died.
That's, I mean, what do you do, I guess? It is weird. And I've obviously never
been. It's weird now, but I mean, I talk to Tess and I talk to Aunt Jo sometimes, but not for years. They didn't talk to me.
Well, they probably also didn't know how. It's awkward. It's like,
yeah, I guess it is.
Because you're like,
but it was just like, I was like, man, Aunt Jo and I were really close, you know.
I wonder if it would have
like, they just, and God knows what he told them when he went home. Who goes? He left in the middle of the night with the boat to China.
I didn't remember that he took the China.
He took the China, the boat, and the wood chipper.
That's the weirdest assortment of things to
take. Well, this is mom's china. She gave it to me. And I'm like, she has 4 daughters. Why would they give it to me? But they did.
Again.
And so he took it. And then right. Marion had it. Don't you remember Thomas was there and she brought the china out and he said, pass around china.
I don't remember that. And that's so funny. Yeah. What a sloppy seconds china. That's so funny.
But I mean, to leave in the middle of the night with the china. It was just bizarre to me.
That is so bizarre.
Well, oh, he took the cuckoo clock, but I had the piece that made it work for years. I finally sent it back to him.
You're just holding it hostage? Your cuckoo clock will never work, you bastard.
Actually, the thing was, I never missed him, not one day.
Not really? Well, let's back up before we get...
Okay.
Because I do want to talk about that. Well, no, we don't have to back up, I guess. But, like, how long were you guys trying... Okay, so...
Oh, to have a kid?
Yeah.
Like, 3 years.
And then after you got the test and they said something's up, even though he never took the other test, which I could understand someone going, like, I don't need to feel...
Yeah. He actually wanted me... I was just talking about this to my girlfriends on the thing. He wanted me to go through the whole pregnancy experience.
He wanted
so we decided on... Right. And so we decided on artificial insemination.
Now, what was that like back then? When
I went to Beverly Hills, you know, and they give you this little cup and they put it on your cervix. I almost had to call the fire department the first time because it suctions on there. I couldn't get it off.
Jesus, it was just trapped inside of you?
Yeah, but they want to keep the sperm right in there. It's like a little cup that suctions on your cervix.
And then what? Does it eventually come out? Do you have to pull it out?
You have to pull it out, but it wasn't coming.
Wait, so when you went through that process of, was the topic of adoption discussed? Were you like, what are our options?
He didn't want, he wanted me to have the baby, not go through adoption. He didn't want to adopt.
Would you have been okay adopting?
Oh, yeah.
But he, I just want you to have the experience of the most.
Well, so I can leave and you can raise them yourself.
Yeah, no, it's so much effort and encouragement to then be like, well, maybe there's a reason I couldn't have kids.
Well, you know, I thought that many times that maybe that's the reason that he didn't have that bond. Like, but he did when you guys were younger.
Oh, yeah.
I think as you got older, he didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah, I don't think he knew how to relate to older kids.
But then again, you know, his parents just left him when he was 14 and went to Mexico and kind of left him in the house for his sisters to kind of keep an eye on.
For how long?
For months at a time.
Oh, so maybe his experience is just like...
His Aunt Ruby, when we got married and we stopped in Phoenix, she said, please don't let, just don't let your children raise themselves like the Singletons did.
That's so funny. And yet, what can you do?
What can you do, right?
Artificial insemination in the 80s was kind of a newer.
I don't think it was that new, but.
Or is gaining more people were learning about it and doing it.
Well, yeah, I had to research and find out, and it wasn't real popular. I mean, like, I lived in Victorville, I had to go to Beverly Hills.
How was that?
It was okay. I mean, it was what, an hour, 2 hour drive? But I mean, I got pregnant, and then, right, we're getting ready to go on Christmas home. And I'm pregnant and I start spotting and grandpa decided that we shouldn't drive. We were going to drive to Florida. And he said, no, you guys need to fly. You know,
isn't
so,
that worse?
Well, we flew and I was supposed to get an ultrasound. Now, I'm supposed to get an ultrasound at the base. And I think by then I pretty much knew I wasn't going to have this baby because I was spotting a lot. So, you know, you drink all that fluid you got to drink. I drank 2 pitchers of beer.
Jesus.
I had to go to the bathroom so bad. I was like, oh, let me go to the bathroom. Said there was no fetus in there, but like 2 nights later, I started hemorrhaging, and I'm at Aunt Jo's, and Grandpa is driving me to the Navy base. He's lost.
Oh, God.
I'm in the backseat hemorrhaging. We get to the gate, and he's like, my daughter, my niece, she's in the back.
Aww.
So I blow through all that, and I remember asking them, please, can't you just sew me up? I did not want to lose that baby, you know. Aww. Please just sew it up. And they were like, no.
Were you drunk at the time?
No. I was a mess. You know, and I remember the guy teasing me, the ensign. And he goes, okay, we're going down the stairs now. And I'm in a car. And he goes, just get in. You know, but I get out of the hospital and I'm just like weak. And I got out of the hospital December 23rd. We go to Aunt Linda's house. Now, I've never met Ann Linda's kids or anybody. Ooh. And I'm opening presents and they give me baby booties, maternity clothes. I was like, and Aunt Jo goes, oh, I'm so sorry. Mike said it would be okay. I Oh, the Dr. Spock book too. My dad said, throw that in the garbage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen to the guy who couldn't stop having kids. Relax, sir. But that's what was the Dr. Spock book?
It was about childcare and how to, you know, he had, like, you're supposed to keep a baby on a schedule. Who cares if it cries? You don't feed it for 4 hours.
That's crazy.
He's like, throw that book in the trash, feed the baby when it's hungry.
Yeah. Good. God, that's so sad. It's like, did nobody tell them?
Oh, that was my worst Christmas until I got the DUI on Christmas Eve. And that was.
Well, you're like, oh, I didn't think I could outdo myself.
Hey, how low can you go?
How long had dad been gone when that was that the first Christmas after dad left?
Yeah. That was he left. We got divorced in September. He left sometime in June. We didn't even know where he was. He just left.
Yeah, oh, I know. I remember.
And he finally we called Aunt Jo. And he had hooked up. He had already made plans to hook up with Marion at her family's her mother's funeral.
He made plans to meet her there, or he went to that and then
He went to the funeral. They were all family friends growing up, really good friends.
Yeah.
And she's in Alaska, and I don't know how she left her husband for him, but hey, stranger things.
Yeah. What, that was 1990, what year was that? Seven, six?
96.
Damn. That's a wild.
Yeah, because I got sober the first time in January of 97. So that was Christmas of 96.
Oh, so was that your rock bottom?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wait, do you want to?
Come on, they towed my car.
Do you want to retell the story? You had to come get me.
Your dad came to get you that morning. And so I walked to, remember the store on Main Street around from our house in Pinehurst? I walked there because I have no car now. I got a case of beer and a little thing of macaroni and cheese. That was my Christmas dinner.
That's good. You get home from a DUI and you're like, I better get a case of beer.
Well, I walked to the store. I probably, you know, and I'm calling my family, Merry Christmas.
And they're like, shut up. You did this yourself.
And then I come to pick you up like January 3rd because my sobriety date was the 10th. And then I found out about Marion and all that. I thought he just left. That was, you know, okay. But then he's living with this girl, and oh, they tried to. She tried to act like she was your mother that first Christmas, that first time in the summer. She put you in the YMCA and listed herself as a parent. She was going. I did tell him when he said, "We're just gonna sue you for custody." I said, "Oh, I'm so glad my children don't have any of that screwed up singleton blood. You'll never win."
Jesus. It's weird to me that he said he was going to sue you for custody because he didn't.
But then we get to court and he.
Yeah, I was like, then he just.
I should have just let it go. I got $25 more when I went back to court. I could have got part of his retirement, but I didn't go for it. I just signed the papers. I didn't even read them. I didn't even care. Daphne went with me to court and she said, you know, if you went after his retirement, he would have went after yours. You just need a closure. Just let him go. You can survive with $425 a month.
That's what that was his child support.
Yeah. And he tried to shut it off. He shut it off when Thomas turns 18. In Mississippi, it's 21.
Wasn't it 20? But he didn't claim Thomas as a dependent. Wasn't that the thing?
Right. That was part of the thing. He got to claim you as a dependent.
Which is wild.
I got the shaft, but I didn't even care. I just didn't care. Of course, I was probably drunk when I signed it. So, you know.
Well, probably. I mean, it was you.
Well, probably. I mean, I think I was drunk most of the time then.
He left. I mean, a divorce is hard. And that's hard. I didn't realize till right now that you, for some reason, I thought.
It's hard because
the thing that happened
is all of a sudden, none of the neighbors will hang out with you because women are afraid you're going to take their man. You know? Yeah.
That's
you're
so
like marked, you know? The only one that would talk to me was like Debbie, Kelsey's mom.
Kelsey's mom, yeah. She's like, how'd you do it? I'm just kidding. She's still married to Don. He's like, good for you. People, get him out.
You know, because we were in that neighborhood as a couple and we went to parties and, you know, hung out with people. And then all of a sudden, I'm not a couple and nobody wants to hang out with me.
That must have been so hard. Did you?
And then my in-laws act like I died.
I mean, that must have been really isolating.
Yeah, it was all right, you know. I mean, I had to do stuff like, you know, trying to mow the grass. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. And then Ed came over one day and he goes, he didn't even leave you any tools. I go, well, I got a screwdriver. I was trying to fix the boards on the fence.
God. Like, dear God. Man, what? Well, obviously things weren't going well, hence divorce and people leaving, but like, where
actually was fine. Do you know? You don't know how that all went down.
I don't remember anything. I remember there were fights where I had to go to my room sometimes.
He had a bag. He started bringing home doing a lot of drugs, and I guess he had a bag of pot in his drawer, and Thomas and Justin found it, and they sold it to Jeffrey for some money.
And bought candy.
And he was mad because Thomas stole his stuff, and I was like, that shouldn't be in my house. Not with those kids. No.
Yeah,
that was a big, and that's why Thomas had such a hard time. He thought he was the one to blame.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it was just all downhill.
And then he like quit his job. He was just doing. I mean, I find a ticket on my car at 2 a.m. in downtown Biloxi. I had no idea he was doing so many drugs, and he ran up all my credit cards.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, just. And so then I took him off my card and I moved. I got told he had to get his own bank account. And of course I was the bitch then, but it was like, sorry, you're killing me, you know?
Yeah. You're spending all the money. We're not going to have anything.
You know, you're out in the middle of the night in my car getting tickets and I have no idea.
Did he explain what that was?
No.
That's, do you feel like, cause you said earlier, I mean, years before you were already drinking because you didn't want to be married. Do you think like...
I just wasn't happily married. You know, I didn't get married for the right reasons.
Oh, the right reason isn't to move to California.
Not to move to California. Or because he's the first man that gave you an orgasm.
Oh. Yeah.
God. Who knew?
Well, you know, at least he had that.
Who knew that easy? I thought he was like a magician.
Yeah. Turns out,
I tell people now, you know, like when they say, like when I met Terry, all these red flats. You live with your mother. You don't have a job. I said, yeah, I guess I thought the circus was in town, you know.
You're like a...
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
A bull. You'll just run right out of red flag.
Yeah, just run at him like a bull.
I can fix you. Do you think you have a little bit of the, like, you're a fixer?
Yes. I'm trying not to be, and it's really hard to, like, detach.
Yeah.
You know what? If I'm honest, Terry can't even fill out a job application.
Yeah.
And I have been carrying him and doing all that and filling out his paperwork. And doing all this stuff for his business. I'm doing his bids from Afghanistan. There's something wrong with that.
Yeah, but it's...
but it was okay. I didn't know, you know?
Yeah, and it, you know, it's an unhealthy action, but it stems from... I think it stems from caring. You know?
Right. And like, it stems from, I want to fix everybody and make everybody else's life easy.
Yeah, you're like... And when it's like, you just want things to be okay, and this is your partner. You're like, if your life is easier... My life will be easier.
Right.
And
then even with your kids. I want you to have a job because I like to eat. So I will get you a job.
Yeah. But, you know, so it's. Do you ever see?
I should not be doing for people what they can do for yourself. And I did that. And now he doesn't seem to be able to do anything. And it's horrible because I'm trying to detach.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and then it's like,
it can atrophy people in a way, you know. Right. It's like, I mean, I don't know if that's a term, emotional atrophy, but it, if someone does something for you for so long, it's like you almost lose the ability.
Ability, yeah.
Yeah, it's so. Like, well, they say that if you, why anyone would do this or how they know, like, whoever they is, scientist, if you locked someone in a closet with no sunlight for 3 months and they came out, they'd be blind. They'd be permanently blind. And I think it's like that.
Because your brain just stops trying to do that stuff.
Yeah, and so that's the unfortunate part of,
but it's just caretaking. It's codependency at its worst.
Yeah,
you know, I was codependent. I was.
Do you feel like you were codependent with Dad?
Yeah, I did everything in that relationship too, but he was a better partner. I mean, he pulled his own weight. It was great. Okay, I do, like, here's a sample. I mowed the lawn once and I mowed it crooked, and your dad said, please don't ever do that again. Terry would just let me mow the lawn crooked till I died before he, you know, he don't care.
Yeah, but Dad goes, I know how to do it. Just let me do it.
Let me do it.
And I will.
It's like, Terry, I will get so tired of waiting for him to do something that I'll try to hang something up with a drill, you know, and I'll make a mess of it, and then he'll come do it. And I'm like, if you would just do it, he would let me do it and let me ruin it. And then he's like, well, if you just did it this way, I want to say, you know, if you just would do something right away.
Well, do you, let me ask you this. Do, with Dad in that instance and in these instances with Terry, do you ask them to help you?
No. Just expect, well, you know, I do sometimes. Like, can you help me? Like last night, I said, he's calling my friends to find out when I landed because I wasn't home. And he sent me a text and it said, Daddy, you're not home yet. And I'm like, Daddy, who the hell is this? Because he talks in that thing.
Oh, and Kathy. I'm like, he said Kathy and the phone thought he said Daddy.
Daddy, Daddy, you're not home yet. I'm like, he says the funniest stuff and he doesn't even care. I'll say, that doesn't even make sense because he'll talk on Facebook. And then I'm finally to the point where it's just like, I'm not even.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he gets mad when I correct him.
I used to have a Tumblr account where I would just post screenshots.
It's.
I stopped sharing, but I know I shouldn't tell you this because it's kind of mean, but I blotted out his name, but it was just called My Idiot Stepdad. And for everyone listening, who I affectionately call my listeners idiots, this is why they're so bad, is he is dyslexic and struggles with literacy, but he'll talk into his phone but not go back and correct. And anyone who's ever done that on a text message, inevitably, especially if you're a fast talker or you're just not paying attention, you look back and you're like, what the hell did I just say?
Well, he can't read it though. So he goes on and on. And I'm like,
he gives a speech to a Facebook post.
I know.
And then it looks the way it does. But if you, like, nobody reading it knows that. It just seems like he's schizophrenic.
So I'll say, you know, did you mean to say, oh, well, that's fine. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, well.
I want to see if my boss is going to look in my window. And he does this. He makes faces at me.
That's so funny.
Because, like, why are you still here?
Where do you work now, for people listening?
Fort McHenry National Monument. Home of the National Anthem was written here.
Wow. What do you do there also?
I'm the administrative officer.
Oh, you're an officer now. Look at that.
As I tell my friends, I'm in management. They just haven't figured out I'm not quite management material.
Yeah, you're podcasting in your office. Is that a...
Hey, I did AA speaker meeting in Korea in my office.
What was...
I'm off the clock.
Yeah, so you're allowed to be there. What are you
gonna do?
Korea. Let's talk about Korea. Well, okay, put a pin in Korea because I want to talk about it. How many miscarriages did you have before you had my brother?
Just one. I had one before him, one before you.
Okay, so you had a miscarriage and then got pregnant with Tom. How long did you wait? Like, how long was it into the pregnancy before you're like, I think we're okay?
Oh, like, it had to be like 4 months.
Yeah. And then you were like, All right. What did you guys do?
Because the first time I wasn't even a month and a half pregnant and I already had baby stuff in the room. I had to call my friend Claire and go, could you take that stuff out of the room and put it in the storage room?
And she's like, okay. Yeah, okay. I mean, of course. It's so sad. But yeah, that's what they say, that you shouldn't, like 12 weeks, you shouldn't tell anyone.
Right. And yeah, I didn't. I was like scared to death. Yeah. Both times I was scared to death to be, because I had a miscarriage before you too. And I was like, and then I was in Germany with you. So it's not like I could pop back over to Beverly Hills.
Yeah. And just reload up. How expensive was artificial insemination?
It wasn't that bad. I mean, it was probably like $200 a shot. But back then that was a lot.
Oh.
And insurance didn't cover it.
I thought it was like thousands of dollars.
No.
$200 a pop. Like, I wonder what that would be. I wonder if I could convert that into
like today. I mean, luckily, I got pregnant pretty quick both times. Well, with you, I just said, "Ooh, we got orders to Germany. I better try this again."
And because, two times. And I'm asking this because my friends who are comedians and deranged and make up dark theories have postulated it. I'm from a sperm bank. You didn't just go have a wild night with a young Jewish man in Beverly Hills.
You know what? In hindsight, that's what I should have done. Because I remember before I started going there, I started like sizing guys up. Ooh, blonde hair, green eyes. He'll do.
That's so
funny. It would have been a lot cheaper to do that.
Yeah, but at least in theory with the sperm bank, you have an idea of their also, I assume, history.
Well, from what the doctor said, he said these guys are checked out better than racehorses, and most of them are like medical students.
Here's the thing, Mom. I thought that when I thought this cost tens of thousands of dollars. What medical student is jerking off in a cup for $10?
Hey, one who's not making
students,
any money.
I guess.
No, I probably was maybe $500 a pop. I don't, I can't remember. It was a long time ago.
And you do get to we found out through various people, there's been stories of, a doctor was actually just inseminating all these women with his sperm.
Yeah, right.
And all that. But you get to get kind of specific in theory. What are the things that you get to choose in terms
of hair color, eye color, religion?
Yeah. And
so I don't know where the Jewish and you came, because I picked a Catholic.
Well, sometimes.
Because they swap, because you were supposed to have the same donor as your brother.
Yeah, but that means that guy would have been
23
constantly.
And it came out to like 50%. And I was like,
Yeah. So me and my brother, we found out through 23andMe, shout out to 23andMe, that we're only related
half brother
to
and
you,
sister.
Which, well, let's talk about this for a second. First of all, it's interesting that, it almost seems like they're just full of shit. How are they storing sperm for that long? Or that guy's coming back? In the 80s, it feels like they had that technology.
Oh, they had that. In dry ice. Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
Because I was delivered one time because I didn't want to go all the way to Beverly Hills. After you, I was trying again. And they delivered it by FedEx. And then I tried to do it myself with a turkey baster.
Turkey baster?
Didn't work.
You just
so
got
good.
Cum delivered by FedEx? They're just FedEx delivery drivers
and
out there?
And you had to thaw it out.
God, no wonder dogs bark at delivery drivers. Disgusting.
And that was not, they didn't know I didn't have a doctor and I was going to do it myself.
Wow, they really, boy, have times changed with regulation, I'm assuming.
I wish I could remember where that was in. It was the something cryobank in, it was in Beverly Hills.
Well, I don't think it worked. I don't think it exists anymore because I've tried to find it. There's a place called California Cryobank, but there's nothing in Beverly Hills. Do you ever think that, it was divine intervention, God's we've got enough Catholics in the Fink family.
Probably.
Let me ask this.
Jewish people are smarter,
We are.
So they say.
The proof is in the bank. It's, look at the CEOs. Who's running Hollywood? Whatever. No, Jews do have
when I grew up, my neighborhood, most of the people were either Jewish or Italian.
Yeah. And then there was you.
So, my best friend Jackie, I went to have a bas mitzvah, Stacy Schnall, and then here, Stacy Schnall lived here, Don Masaccio lived here.
Did they?
You know, it was like every other house. You were either Jewish or Italian.
And you guys were just what, the Irish Catholic?
We were just like the freaks, the Catholics. You know.
There's the drunk Fink kids.
Well, I mean, the Tooleys lived next door too. I don't know what they were. What happened is, wherever we lived in Massachusetts, Massapequa, it's called right of entry. They were building a highway through our neighborhood, so they bought us out. So the Tooleys were our neighbors in Massapequa, and then they became our neighbors in Deer Park. And then they became our feuding neighbors because my mom kind of alienated all the women, so none of them talked to her after a little while.
Why? What'd she do?
She put coffee in it. It was like a whole bunch of women would meet for coffee, and my mom didn't have enough cups, so she put Helena's in a glass, and that was it.
She put coffee in not a mug, and people were like, we can no longer speak to this woman. Oh, my God. If I was alive, if I was living in grandma's time, I'd be in an asylum.
Well, you know, grandma, she was like, screw y'all.
Oh, you know, I'm sure. Go to hell. grandma. Man, what are some of your favorite memories from your childhood?
I think it's always like Christmas was great. I loved Christmas, you know. I was just saying that the other day. Someone wrote that on Facebook, like, you know, you kids better behave or we're going to turn the car around. And my cousin wrote, no one ever turns the car around. I said, we got to the World's Fair parking lot and my dad turned the car around and we went home.
You think he just wanted credit for attempting to do something fun and didn't actually have the money? And he's like,
I think years later he told me what happened was the car started really acting up and he was afraid we wouldn't make it home. Or, you know, would start. So he went home. We did go back the next week.
But he blamed. He's like, this is what you get for fighting.
We were afraid of my dad. My mom said we would go out to eat. And people would say, oh, my God, those children are so well behaved. My mom said they better be. Because we hardly ever went out. So if we wanted to go out to eat, we behaved.
Well, yeah, it would cost a fortune.
And we weren't beat or anything like that. Just
not at all? Not a little bit of smacking around?
Well, maybe a little bit.
it was the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, I mean, it's spanking. My brother Matt got beat a lot, but I didn't get
beat. He's a troublemaker, huh?
Well, he had ADHD, and it was not diagnosed back then.
What so do they just call it?
He was always in trouble.
Just being in trouble.
Just in trouble. I mean, you know, we'd be in school. He's a year ahead of me. And we'd be going to an assembly, and the teacher would be holding his hand because he couldn't behave. They would say, is Matt your brother? I'd say, no. Uh-uh. John's my brother.
John's my brother. Don't lump me in with him. I'm a good kid. Did you have a close relationship, like a notably closer relationship with any of your siblings than like with the rest of them?
Oh, yeah. My brother Matt and I were pretty close. But my sister Chris and I were really close. We were only 15 months apart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she was my first friend, you know.
Yeah.
And my first enemy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what sisters do, right?
I know. I mean, you know, but we were really close when we were younger, you know?
Yeah.
We shared a room, we shared clothes, because once the twins came along, oh, God, we had to dress alike so we could pass the clothes down to them.
That's so, did people make fun of
you? And my grandmother would make culottes that look like your wallpaper.
Honestly, I wish she was still alive. I would kill for some of those pants.
So little culotte sets. And they matched so the twins could get them when they were done.
That's so. And you're like, we look like idiots.
Oh, God, we look like idiots.
Well, for the listeners listening, we just lost Aunt Chris very recently.
Yeah.
Do you have any, are there any particular fun memories that pop out from your childhood with her?
Oh, there's tons. You know, like we used to lay awake at night and we couldn't sleep because it was too hot. And we would draw on each other's back words, trying to guess what the other one was doing.
Oh, that's
and
a fun game.
We did that for, you know, all the time. You know, we did that. I mean, we did a lot of stuff together. We hitchhiked together.
Hitchhiked? I remember she hitchhiked
one. Me and my friend Angel, we would park her car and hitchhike to the beach in our bikinis. What in the hell was wrong with us?
God, you could have been murdered.
We met some interesting people.
Oh, yeah, your women hiking, and I'm surprised you didn't meet the end of your life.
I hitchhiked everywhere. I hitchhiked with Uncle Andrew to bingo. He probably doesn't remember. He was like four.
Hitchhiking used to be like, it was a thing for a minute,
it was
wasn't
cool.
it?
It was, you know, I mean, come on. We parked her car. She had a car.
Yeah. Why were you like, she had a car. Why didn't you just drive to the beach?
Oh, it was too much fun to hitchhike. We'd meet people. We'd get high. We'd be,
Did you ever get scared?
No.
Damn, such a different time.
But I remember Chris was, she was out in Holbrook with Barbara, and she was in trouble. She had to come home. And she comes home, and I had to go to her. Do not say you walked home. Say somebody gave you a ride.
What was she in trouble for? Just being out.
I don't know. She was always in trouble. She was we got caught shoplifting, right? We went to stay with my friend Lucille, upstate New York, and her parents were like real holy roller. And Lucille, this is how crazy people were. She was stealing makeup and keeping it in a thing till she turned 16. Now we're 13 and 12. So she's telling us how to steal makeup in the store. So we're, and then she tells Chris. And Chris is like stealing stuff and going, hello, talking to everybody. We got caught.
Idiot.
And so then we got sent home. She said, well, my dad can whip you. And I was like, no, he cannot. That's they sent us home on a Greyhound bus. And I remember this distinctly because I was horrified. I was so ashamed. And we're driving home. I can't eat because my stomach's upset. And Chris is eating French fries and, you know, making fun of me because I'm so upset. And we got there and my parents weren't there. And I really thought they weren't going to come get us. And she was like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, wait, where does that stem from? Where do you, what is your anxiety? Because I guess you've just always
been born neurotic, I think.
Yeah. Were you just always worried even as a kid?
As a kid, and I was shy. My grandmother would come over and I would hide.
You were shy? You would talk to a wall now.
Today. But I mean, she would come over and I would go hide. It would take me about an hour to come out.
Wow. Well, little kids. Was that when you were really?
What got out of it is I got a job selling candy. I did it for years. I started when I was 14. Door-to-door selling candy. Making up lies, too. Instead of saying, I'm selling candy for earnings for education, I'd be like, there's a little boy that needs a dialysis machine and we're selling candy to raise money. I saw a lot of candy. One time the lady goes, well, how do I know that you're doing it? I said, you want me to wheel them here?
And you were just lying? Psychopath? Yeah, you. What do you want me to bust him out of the hospital, lady? You want the candy bar or not?
Oh God, it's $5 for 3 boxes. Like, you want candy or not?
Yeah,
you want to help the kid? But then my sister Chris,
selling
she always
candy for diabetes.
Three words, right?
What?
So we're in another town. We're saying we're from the high school of that town, and Chris is like 14. She was never really bright, and so the lady goes, "Oh, what school?" And she said, "Oh, this school." And she goes, "Do you know my son?" She goes, "Intimately." She said, no, what?
Oh my God.
Like, you horse's ass. Don't you know what that means? No, doesn't mean I know him well. I said it really well.
That's so fun. Intimately.
You know the test you take in school for your IQ? She came out borderline retarded. Because she just went through the test. A, B, C, D. She didn't read.
She's like, who cares? It doesn't actually matter.
Yeah, the test. I didn't know it was an IQ.
Well, that's because your IQ is low.
Well, yeah.
That's so funny to just be like, these standardized testings don't actually mean anything. And then they're like, we have to put you in a special
needs. I'm retarded, but that's okay.
Jesus.
Well, she said stuff like, when they found out that Drew was a genius, my dad sits us all down and says, now, we don't want to teach him any special. We don't want to do anything.
When did they find that out? How old was he?
He was like in second grade.
Yeah.
I had like a genius IQ. And so he's sitting there at dinner. He comes in the room and my sister goes, oh, well, here's the little genius now.
Was that weird having a, like.
Oh, I mean, he was my baby. Didn't you?
You guys are
all. I was
all
10 when smart. He was born.
Huh?
Right? I was 10 when he was born. 10. He was my baby. I did everything with him. I mean, I walked him. I changed him. I took him to the store. I took him to get the bingo when he was 4. I mean, we hitchhiked, but you know, he could play bingo at 4. I mean, he was playing bingo.
And only a genius could play bingo.
And I taught him to read in my old books, like the Sea Spot Guy. He was like 2. He was reading.
Man.
I also taught him how to pitch. So, you know.
So he's not that good at sports.
Actually, he's pretty good at sports too. He's ambidextrous. You know, it's like, you know, in my family, we have all these good traits. I got all the bad ones. The big nose, no butt, you know. But my dad always said, I always thought you were the smartest of all of my kids.
Until Drew came along. You are very smart.
Yeah, but I never knew that. But you guys are very smart. And I didn't know that until I met Terry's kids. And I was like, what the hell's wrong with these kids?
Oh, you just thought we were like regular kids. Well, I was always getting like gifted tested in programs.
And... I know. And, but Thomas was, and Diane, remember Diana, my friend? She said, man, you kids are sharp. She said, we are sitting there, they are following conversations, interjecting. She said, my kid's like a lump.
That's so funny. Yeah, I do remember always feeling like an adult at a young age, but I never knew.
Well, Uncle Drew used to say to when Thomas was little, well, he thinks he's grown. He thinks he's an adult. He'd be sitting at the table with all the adults.
So funny. And now, and now look at him.
God only knows.
Who, I mean, good Lord. Okay. So had Thomas, went to sperm bank right before you moved to Germany.
Moved to Germany. We were in Germany for 4 years.
What was Germany like?
I love Germany, you know?
Yeah.
Just actually, if you go on, I did this the other day, Google, what is that, Earth?
Oh, did you go look
at it? I remember the first apartment we had. I remember the address. That wasn't housing. 4 7 Oberroden.
Really?
And you could, yep, it looks exactly the same.
4 7 Oberroden?
F-O-R-S-T-S-T-R 7. And it's Oberroden, and it'll probably come out as Rodgau or something like that.
F-O-what-R-E?
F-O-R-S-T, Forst. Forststrasse 7. Oberroden is the, that's where we lived before we moved into housing, where you were first born.
Damn, I'm gonna look it up later. I'm like trying to pull it up on a
it's
map.
It's kind of cool because it was like we lived in the top floor, and so there were every it was like every room was you wake your head a lot,
slanted.
I thought it was so cool. Wow, this is so cool until I moved in and kept banging my head.
What was your favorite thing about Germany? The beer.
The wine festivals. You would get this little, I had a little crochet thing that held a little cup, and you'd go and taste all the wines. Just the festivals were great, you know, and the Christmas market.
I was going to say the Christmas markets.
We did a lot of bike riding there with you guys, and feeding the ducks. And there was these little airports that had, like, remote control airplanes that look like real, and we'd go watch them take off.
Oh, that's so fun.
And we went to Switzerland every year to go to Lauterbrunnen. You probably don't remember. It's in Switzerland. It means Valley of the Waterfalls. It's surrounded by waterfalls. It is the most beautiful place ever.
Oh, man. I need to go back.
And then you go up on a cable car, and there's a town called Muren, and there's no cars up there. It's a ski resort. My dad loved it there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. The girls actually took some of my dad's ashes and went to Muren and spread them.
What, he scattered them off the ski lift and hit the chair behind them?
I don't know what they did. He liked the bar there. I had a picture of him doing this at the bar once.
That's so funny. Was he a big, he was a big beer drinker, huh?
He was a big, no, he drank rye. He was a big drinker.
Like whiskey? Yeah.
He got sober before he died. But, I mean, he oh, yeah.
How old was he when he died?
66.
And you were
36. 30 years older than me, just like I'm 30 years older than you.
Oh, I'm 36 now, so hold on for dear life.
I know, I'm 66. I'm like, ooh, I got a couple months and I'll pass him by. I think Uncle Matt was holding his breath. Because,
yeah, it was
my dad's dad died was like 63. So.
Wow. So it's was it heart disease? Heart attack?
Yeah.
Were you close with your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I was closer to my dad than my mom most of the time growing up, I think.
Yeah? Just got along?
I thought my mom was stupid most of the time. She was like a crybaby. She was afraid of her own shadow. Oh.
I can't relate to that.
And I was like a horrible child. Because she would like let us sleep with my dad would work midnight shift. And she would let each kid sleep with her sometimes because she, you know.
She just didn't want to be alone, but she's like.
Wake up and go, what's that noise? So I wasn't allowed to sleep with her anymore.
You just
she would lock herself in a room and put the dresser against it. And we're outside. I'm like.
Yeah, nobody's coming in here to kidnap. Yeah, also she just leaves you to be murdered.
Everything. I mean, she really was. I mean, even in. Before she died, living at the girl's house, she always had the alarm on and she's sitting there in the house. I'm like,
do you think something happened to her when she was younger?
No, I think she's still. She said when my dad died, she said she had never, ever slept in her own bed. She went from sleeping in a bed with her sister to sleeping in a bed with my dad.
She'd never slept alone. Wow.
And she tried living alone. It was like horrendous. She would call me crying. I can't stand it. I can't do it. And so I was like, Margaret, let her move in with you. God.
Yeah, you're like, well, I can't help you. Click.
I'm in Alaska. Sorry.
Don't you remember what it was like when I stayed in the bed? You want to move in here? I'll do it again.
I used to do that to Aunt Chris, too. One time I told her there was a German Shepherd at the window. She went to my mom and dad screaming. I said, we're on the second floor. How could there be a German Shepherd at the window? Well, you know what I used to do to Drew?
Oh, no.
We slept downstairs, and I would say, oh, no, you have to stay down here. And I would hang out the living room window and bang on his window with a broom.
You're a bully. Are you a sociopath? What's happening?
I don't know. I think I was a sicko when I was a kid.
What's your favorite memory with your dad?
Of my dad?
Yeah.
I think it is taking him to, he came to California when we moved there without my mom when we first moved there. And, oh, God, we had a party. He got drunk and fell off the picnic table. But before that, he was like, this is the life. He wanted to join the Air Force. He was like, they give me this house. You do all this. And then I took him to the Roy Rogers Museum. It was like being in someone's old attic. He was in there for 4 hours.
That's such a dad
move. Like, what the hell? Yeah. I had this stuffed Tigger and stuffed Bullet because they came from Apple Valley, California. So we went to their museum.
Yeah.
But those times were kind of neat because it was just my dad. And he was there when we went to Vegas when I first felt Thomas move.
He was.
I was laying in the bed and I just started laughing. And he said, what? I said, oh, it's moving.
Oh, was he so excited for you?
Yes. Yeah, he was. He used to take that picture of Thomas, the one that's on the wall, you know, with the baseball cap.
Yeah.
And he said the women would be showing the babies, and he'd say, this is a baby. This is a baby.
Nobody ever did that with my photo.
Well, you didn't like him. He loved you, and you just did not like him.
I can't tell you why. I was afraid of him.
Like I did when I was little with the glasses, and he just thought you were just the cutest
thing. I feel
but
bad.
But he was okay with it. He was like, no, just leave her be. She'll be fine. I don't want to scare her.
No. I know. I just wish I had gotten over that before.
Yeah. But I mean, he was cool with it. You know.
Was that hard for
you?
You
didn't know him. I mean, it's not like you were around him. We go home
we didn't
and
stay close. Like they were in Florida. We were in Mississippi.
Right. And, you know, we were in Germany at first.
How come? So a lot of your family always kind of ended up in the same area. What drove you to get as far away as possible?
I don't know. I love to travel. I love to go to different places.
Yeah.
You know, I get tired after a little while. I mean, I don't want to stay somewhere for 20 years.
Yeah, you're kind of restless.
And the difference was when my parents left New York when I was in my senior year, just left. I went back. I did not want to leave New York. I was dead set. I ran away. I didn't want to go to Florida. This was my home. And if I had never left New York, I think I would have stayed there.
You would be one of those people that's go, I would never live anywhere else.
Yeah, but
New York.
But I, you know, I started going other places and
never stopped.
I never stopped and I probably never will.
What's your favorite place you've been?
Bali.
Bali? What's it like there?
It's just the beach and it's really laid back. It's really inexpensive.
Yeah. You,
people are just so nice.
That's refreshing. What's your...
I might like Hawaii, but I haven't been there yet. I'm going to get there eventually.
Okay. It's very nice. Honolulu is kind of whatever. It's like touristy, which is a privileged thing to say, but you barely know you're somewhere amazing if you don't get
out. Yeah, well, Bali, you knew you were somewhere different. And, you know, we had to have a driver take us around, but then we could walk down the street and we could get a massage for $10 at this little place. And the little kids would come out and try to sell you little trinkets for their school.
Everywhere you go, you're getting $10 massages and just kids are
and I got
you.
Tons of these little trinkets because I can't say no to these little kids.
That's so funny. What about your relationship with your mom? Was that hard? Was it good? Was it?
It was good. You know, my mom was really easy to get along with.
Yeah. You know? What's your favorite memory?
She never said, don't do this or that. She was, I wish you wouldn't. You know, my mom had certain things like she didn't like. You couldn't say hate around my mom. And growing up, the word was pissa. He's a pissa. And that's like, he's a cork. He's a fun. He's a pissa. We weren't allowed to say that. She had certain little weird things, you know?
Yeah.
Couldn't say hate. That was not a good word.
That's so funny.
But my mom was funny. You know, she was a lot of fun.
Oh, that was hilarious.
You know, I was like her bingo buddy for a long time, you know. By the time I was like 12, I was going to bingo with her, you know.
Yeah, well, I remember, did I ever tell you the thing she said? We were like talking on the cruise ship and she'd had a couple of Bellinis. And somehow we started talking about the food we'd eaten when we were in Venice because that's where the cruise took off of. I was like, man, that was so delicious. And I was like, Grandma, were you good in the kitchen? And she was like, honey, I have 8 kids. I was good all over the house. And that's when
this
I was
like, I made a fire drill at work and the firemen came out and she said to the ladies, and I was just like, you know, my age. She goes, I don't know about you ladies, but I'm going home to burn down the house.
That's so funny. So you got sober 97.
Mm-hmm.
After you got a DUI on Christmas.
Eve.
Drinking in the casino.
Mm-hmm.
How was your... Well, first of all, like, well, your husband... You had gone through a divorce a few months before. Your husband had disappeared inexplicably for a while before that. How was your mental health?
It was horrible. It was horrible. I mean... and then I went to the crazy house, you know, at first.
Yeah.
And
what
the guy
like?
Told me, well, it was really weird because most people are locked in. And I had a guy that was brand new, psychiatrist. So I could like leave and go to the store.
Did you check yourself in?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean, but I had to stay there for a little while. And he told me I was grandiose, this and that. That, you know, he just gave me a diagnosis that is right out of the big book.
Really? What is grandiose?
Like,
do you remember what it
was?
Well,
I was like, wait, he goes, he said something like, talk to you about something? And I was like, do you have a couch? He was cute, you know, and I was.
You're slutting it up in the nut house?
Slutting it up in the nut house. I remember being in there and they were like having a meeting, all the patients, and they were like, well, so-and-so left, so now we need a new mayor. I said, oh, I want that on my resume. Mayor of the psych ward, you know, but I had more privileges and I met a girl there who was in AA and she kept looking at me and going, we're okay. They are not. Because she had checked herself in too.
That's so funny. Is that how you first heard about AA?
Yeah. But I didn't really pay. I went to a meeting once and I told them I got hit by a drunk driver.
And they were like, what?
But Daphne took me to treatment after when I finally went. She took me to treatment and they introduced me to AA.
Yeah. What was your, aside from that first meeting you went to and lied at?
Well, that it was there. But the first meeting I went to in the little yellow house, it was just, I was amazed. People were laughing. People were. You know, and I was like, wow, maybe you can. Because I thought, I decided I wasn't going to drink anymore, but my life was going to suck from then.
Maybe like,
on.
Oh, you can't have, no more fun.
No more fun. Yeah, that's what I thought. And then I go in there and people were laughing. And you know, and I got a little bit of hope, you know, like maybe this could work for me. Maybe I could do this.
Yeah. Is that what made you go back?
Yeah. I just kept going back and here I am.
Yeah. How's your sobriety today?
It's good. I have 3 years because that's when I stopped lying about smoking, lying about. I don't know when I had a last drink, but I know I was lying and telling everybody I wasn't smoking. I know when I didn't have a cigarette. So it's been 3 years. So.
Yeah.
And the sobriety here is really good, but I got to go soon.
Okay. Yeah, I know. They're going to lock you
in. I'm going to get locked in.
Okay. Well, I feel like I didn't get as deep as I was hoping, but this is really interesting. Do you, So a couple of listener questions and then we'll get out. Literally three, I guess. So you've never worked for the CIA.
No, I've never worked for the CIA.
Everyone is convinced you're lying.
If I told you, I'd have to kill you. So,
well, win-win for me. So we'll never know for sure, everyone. remember when you bought me that cat shit coffee?
Oh yeah.
Did you drink any of that, or was that just a terrible prank?
Hell no, I didn't drink
any of that. God damn it! I drank that. For those who don't know, new listeners, my mom, when she lived over in Korea, she would travel a lot to other countries in Asia and even just send me boxes of stuff from Korea. Really great skincare. Boy, did I really not know how good I had it when I was getting all this Korean skincare just in a box to me regularly. But she sent me this coffee and I made a batch of it. And there was like a little lemur or something on the bag from
Bali. It was in Bali.
Bali. And I texted her to be like, hey, thank you so much for that package you sent me, but don't drink any of that coffee. It tastes like shit. And she wrote back, oh, it is shit. So there's a thing in Bali where these lemur cats or something eat the coffee beans, shit them out, and then they absolutely scam tourists into being like, it makes them better. And they sell them bags of shit coffee and they act like it's more sophisticated. Like they've really done a good job branding it. Anyways, for those wondering, it objectively tastes like shit. And someone just wanted to know if you had also drank it or if...
No, I didn't. Terry probably drank it and said it was good.
Well, you know, we all have different flavor palettes.
We went on a whole tour of how it was made. Here's the lemurs. Here's where the shit. Then they put them in here. And I was like, this is pretty interesting.
And then, since you're not a spy, I don't have to ask you if you've ever slept with a foreign spy. We can leave that one out.
I wish.
The reality is, foreign spies probably don't look as much like James Bond as we think, and it's just like a regular guy named
probably some ugly fat guy with bald head.
Who's just blending in, you know. and then last question from a listener: what's the number one thing that you would do differently as a parent if you could go back and start over?
I'd spend more time with my kids and not worry about, doing this and doing that. Just spend more time just enjoying them instead of wishing they would hurry up and grow up. Get the fuck out!
And now you're like, I wish they were still here.
I did. You just don't know how bad I've missed like soccer practice and soccer games and stuff like that.
I miss it.
I loved all that stuff.
Yeah. Cherish the moment.
I was the crazy parent on the sidelines. I was the crazy coach, but I was a crazy parent too, you know?
Screaming at me. Yeah, I remember.
Screaming. Singleton, where are you? Thomas one time stopped in the middle of the game and he's like, here, I'm right here.
Yeah. I did that too, I think, once when I played on
the other parents are looking at me like,
yeah, I'm over here. I'm across your eyes.
Yeah. I'm excited.
And you're like, what? I just enjoy the game. And they're like, all right, well, we're gonna go. Do you have any last words of general wisdom, either from life, from sobriety, from just being a human?
You know what, if somebody invites you to go somewhere, even if it's not on your bucket list or you don't like it, go. Because you know what, if you don't go, they're not gonna invite you again. And traveling is the best experience in the world, you know?
Yeah. Do you think it's made
even if you go with seven crabby ass women? You know,
get a little insight.
It was kind of great. They just took over, right? They were like, meet us here and there. Me and Edna were like, okay, we're just going to go wherever they tell us.
On that note, one last quick question. I know you have to go. When you travel, do you prefer like a strict itinerary or do you like to just wander around?
I like to just wander around.
Same. All right. Well,
usually I'll book if we're going for 4 days, I'll book a city tour, do that. And then we'll just wander around, do whatever I want.
Yeah, I love to just see the city, how it is. Yeah, although I've wandered around.
Yeah.
You ever wander into a place and you're like, I don't think this is a good neighborhood.
Yeah. I think you just
I think I'm going to get mugged in Rome.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for doing this, Mom. It's good.
Okay. All right.
I learned about you. I love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.